strings.
Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this Easter Sunday. We welcome you as we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. We're collecting the 2022 One Great Hour of Sharing today, April 17th. Also, if you've got your child's fish banks, just turn that in on the offering plate this morning as well. That we hope that all of the cooks' children of all ages and their friends will join us for our Easter egg hunt today, immediately following our worship service on the front lawn. We will not have great stories of the Bible either this week or next week. This week, for obvious reasons, as it's Easter, and next week I will be on vacation. Note: Operation North State Fishing Festival. They're looking for 10 to 15 desserts for their event. Thursday, April 12th. We need whole cakes, pies, etc., as well as individually packed cookies and such. We'll need them brought to the church office on this Wednesday, April 20th, by 4 p.m. If you have any questions, contact Sandy Birmingham. It's getting to be that time of the year again. If you or a young adult is graduating from either high school or college since last June, please send some information to the church office by Friday, April 29th. And that there's more information on the bulletin about that. I know Petey's got an announcement. Are there any other announcements before we get to Petey? Okay. Yep.
The Presbyterian women are going to have a high tea. So all of our women are cordially invited May the 1st at 2 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. That's a Sunday. And it is a birthday celebration also. There will be more details coming to you soon, so be looking for those details.
Thank you. Now let's open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
Glad songs of salvation are in the tent of the righteous.
Thanks, Ben. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we do. We lift up our hearts to you this Easter morning. As the dawn broke, we pray that you would continue to carry the unity we share into every moment, knowing that one, we are one with the risen Christ. Lord, we lift our eyes to you. As the sun rises and stays in the sky, remind us, O Lord, to look for the beautiful colors and promise that's there in your word. Lord, we lift our prayers to you. As the dew air fills, may we breathe this morning in and know that like the earth, you sustain us, keep us, and work within us always. And so we lift our voices to you, Heavenly Father. We celebrate the greatest day in history when Jesus rose from death, defeated darkness, and bathed the world in stunning resurrection light. May we ever live to praise you. Amen. John reminds us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will relieve us of our sin and remove from us any of our transgressions. So in humility and in faith, let us join our voices together using this morning's prayer of confession found in the bulletin as the means by which we are faithful to God. Join me. Heavenly Father, we know that you shared your Son with us so that we might have abundant lives now and eternal lives forever. Yet we confess how seldom we live that truth in our lives. Too often we listen to the false voices of this world, leading us to stray from your ways. We choose compromise over conviction, fear over faith, and comfort over courage. Change us, O Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lead us to conform our lives to Jesus Christ, the one who lived and died and was raised this day for us and for our salvation. Amen. The great good news recorded in Scripture is that our transgressions, our sin, our iniquity are not left to condemn us, that they have, in fact, been removed from us by none other than Jesus Christ. His victory over death proclaims the death of sin and its hold over us. His ascension into heaven reminds us that there is a place in the coming kingdom just for us. And his presence here by the power of the Holy Spirit tells us in our hearts the great good news we wish to hear. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Amen. Thank you. That was wonderful. We come now into a litany that we've got printed in our bulletins this morning. If you'll join me, we'll do our litany for Easter. O Christ, after your resurrection, you appeared to your disciples. You breathed on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. You gave joy and exaltation to the whole creation. Through your victory, we pray to you. O Christ, after your resurrection, you sent out your disciples to teach all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You promised to be with them and us till the end of the world. Through your victory, we pray to you.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
O Christ, through your resurrection, you lifted us up and filled us with rejoicing. Through your salvation, you enrich us with your gifts. Renew our lives and fill our hearts with joy. Through your victory, we pray to you.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
O Christ, you are glorified by angels in heaven and worshipped on earth. On the glorious feast of your resurrection, we pray to you.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
Save us, O Christ our Lord, in your goodness. Extend your mercy to your people who await the resurrection and have mercy on us. O merciful God, you raised your beloved Son and in your love established him as head of your church and ruler of the universe. By your goodness we pray. At this time, I'd like to invite the children down to the carpet for a special time just for them. Good morning, kids. How are y'all? That good, huh? Is everybody loaded up on chocolate already, or is that coming later?
I don't get my chocolate and candy.
Later.
I don't get my chocolate and candy until after church.
That's probably, yeah. Did we do that for y'all? Did y'all have some candy before? A little bit? All right. A little bit of candy. So just a little bit of edgy, right? Well, that's good. That's good. Well, yeah, what's your favorite kind?
Probably either Skittles or Reese's.
Skittles are good, man. Everybody good with Skittles?
I only eat like two Ferrero
Rochers. You only eat what?
It's a special type of chocolate. It's called Ferrero
Rocher. Oh, Ferrero Rocher. Okay. Yeah, those are good. The little balls?
Yeah.
Man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, guys, what I want to talk to you today is about mysteries. Now, when I was a kid, there wasn't a whole lot of video games. So we basically got our mysteries in the way of books. So we read, anybody ever heard of the Hardy Boys?
No.
What about, oh, you have? All right. Yeah, I used to like the Hardy Boys books. They would go out and solve mysteries. And, of course, they were also, usually the girls like Nancy Drew. Has anybody ever heard of Nancy Drew?
No.
You have? Yeah, well, maybe.
I don't read a lot of books.
Well, we can change that, right? But the thing is, mysteries now are more. The kids watch a show called The Investigators on Netflix. Guys, do you guys have you guys ever heard of The Investigators?
No.
Man, they're these little kids. They're about y'all's age. They're about third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, somewhere in there. And they go out and they solve mysteries, right? And we've got a mystery to solve this morning in our passage. This morning we're going to be reading about an empty tomb. We're going to read that here in just a little bit from the Gospel of John. And you know what happens? So a woman goes there to really help Jesus a little bit. And she finds that his body, which is supposed to be in the tomb, is not there. Right? Like, I don't know about y'all, but bodies, dead bodies, aren't supposed to do anything. They're not supposed to leave the tomb, right?
Yeah.
That's it. So, in fact, the first woman gets there, and she's so freaked out, she just runs away. She doesn't even go in and try to figure it out. And then she brings back others. And they come in and they go in and look, but they only find the head dressings and the wrappings, and they don't find Jesus. And so they're kind of like, what's going on? It's a big mystery. But does anybody know what's happened? All right? Yeah. That's exactly right. It's a big mystery until Jesus Christ comes. And you know what's interesting, guys? Is throughout the Bible, he's telling his disciples that he'll be resurrected. And so when it happens, it's a good cause for rejoicing, isn't it? Well, guys, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we think about this wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Dear God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for raising your son from the grave. Enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to embrace the new life Jesus makes possible. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, thanks. As the kids head back to their seats, we come now into a time of reading and proclaiming of the Word of God. And so before we do so, we always begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read them, mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. Now for the Old Testament reading, we have Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and verses 4 through 24, page 606 in the Pew Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does violently. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open me to the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thanks, Ruth. For those of you who like football, 1906 happened to be a very significant year. You see, up until 1906, the forward pass was illegal, and it's in 1906 that the very first legal forward pass is made in a matchup between, I believe it's St. Louis University and Carroll College. Now, if there's some Tar Heels in the audience today, you might remember that the very first illegal pass was thrown by a Tar Heel to break a 0-0 tie against the University of Georgia in 1905. But unfortunately, the pass was ruled illegal at the time, And I think it's been that long since the Tar Heels have come close to beating the University of Georgia. But that's another story. That's another story. But it's a good thing that the forward pass was actually allowed. Because I didn't realize this until I did a little bit of research on it. Football was a much, much bloodier, violent, more violent sport back then than it was today. Right? As hard as that is to imagine. And in fact, in 1905, 19 people died playing college football. 156 were severely injured. In fact, there was a nationwide movement to get football banned forever. It actually took the president, Teddy Roosevelt's involvement in getting the forward pass approved. But once it was approved, the game slowly began to change. The teams that mastered and understood it went on to succeed, and those that didn't floundered. It was a proverbial, in the truest sense of the word, a game changer. It changed the game of football such that now you hardly think about running backs anymore. You think about the quarterbacks and the receivers. It was a game changer. Now look, we've been fortunate in our era to have experienced a whole lot of game changers. Most of them, let's say, have been pretty good. Now look, I don't know if you have kids or if you just have a short period of time. I think we're all pretty glad that the microwave oven is around when it comes time to do dinner, right? And personally, I can't help but think that teachers are a bit strengthened by the knowledge that they're copier machines now and not mimeographs or anything, just handwriting, I guess, before. So we've seen some real game changers in our lives. But the fact of the matter is we read a passage today that has at its core and at its center the biggest game change in the history of the universe. And so I read to you this morning from the Gospel of John. I read to you the 20th chapter, and I believe I'm going to read verses 1 through 19. I invite you to 1 through 18. I invite you now to hear the word of the Lord. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not yet understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb early to do a duty. You see, with Jesus having died at the Sabbath, there would have been no time to prepare his body for what lay ahead ahead. We know that Joseph of Arimathea had come and taken his body into the tomb, and they had rolled a rough-hewn stone over it. But there hadn't been time for anyone to put the typical spices and perfumes on the body so that it could decompose in peace. Funeral practice or funerary practices back in the time were probably a little bit less savory than we're used to. Mary Magdalene comes that day with tears in her eyes and sadness in her heart, and what she's got is an obligation. An obligation to do right by this man who had been her teacher, her rabbi, had been influential. We know that she had had a demon removed and that she had had her life changed profoundly by Jesus Christ. And so it's understandable that she would go early in the morning, as soon as she could, to put those spices and perfumes on Jesus' already decomposing body. The plan would have been to allow him to decompose, and then someone would have gone in and taken the bones and put them in an ossuary. Ossuary just being a place for bones to be stored. The fact of the matter is that Mary was there to do a task, and when she got there, she was overwhelmed. Game changers do that to us. Game changers at first greet us with a little bit of unease. A little unease and a little fear, perhaps. And that must have been what Mary Magdalene was fearing, because she takes off and goes to see the disciples and she tells them what's going on. Well, as the passage tells us, Peter and the beloved disciple, but we'll assume and call him John, is what's meant there. So Peter and John race off into the tomb, and then they get there, and only one of them will go in, but the other looks, and unfortunately, they then depart and go home. Which is interesting, that there was nobody saying anything about Jesus rising from the dead. You see, when game changers come, we don't initially understand the meaning or even what's happening. If you think about it, Jesus was emphatic with his disciples, saying repeatedly that he would be killed and resurrected. Mark 9:30-32 is just one of them. Jesus was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they did not ask him about it. So in some ways, the most common element of the resurrection stories is that nobody expects them. David Lowes, a preaching professor, writes, "Even though Jesus predicted his death and resurrection several times across his ministry, no one greets the news that God has raised Jesus from the grave and defeated death and the devil by saying, 'Praise God.' No one shouts, 'Hallelujah,' when they hear that their friend and Lord has been raised to life. And absolutely no one, upon hearing the news that death itself could not hold the Lord of glory captive, says, 'I knew it,' just like Jesus said." Which is giving us some indication that the paying attention or the ability to understand how the game would be changed was beyond their capability. But as we know, the game did change. Jesus Christ rising from the tomb transformed the ancient Near East. That can't be underestimated. This event had a profound and real impact on the world of space and time. The Roman Empire, once colossal and massive and polytheistic, within 300 years adopts Christianity as its only accepted religious practice. It's an amazing turnaround that these people were to do it, and it was all fueled by the knowledge that Jesus Christ, by the power of God, had defeated the one thing that everyone assumed was immutably true, that dead men and women stay dead. Jesus Christ and his resurrection upended the world. Its reverberations continue to change and move in this world as we understand it. And there are so many effects that continue to ripple out. The first one is that it automatically transforms suffering. Now, what do I mean by that? I want to begin with a story. I have to confess, it's a good thing that I'm probably alive or still married when you're going to hear this one. You're going to understand why. It was about 4 a.m. in the morning on the day that my wife went into labor. And we had gotten to the hospital, and things were going along pretty smoothly until there was an emergency pregnancy outside in the parking lot. Some woman ended up giving birth in the parking lot, which is wonderful, I guess, if that's the way it comes. And the baby was healthy, so it was fine. But what that caused was just a little shortage of staff so that Natalie wasn't as attended to as closely as it could be. Now, look, y'all, I was freaking out, okay? So let me say that. But I wasn't in any pain. Natalie was in some pain. But I remembered something from my divinity school days that I thought was really going to help out. So I looked at Natalie and I put the most earnest, compassionate look on my face in her pain. And I said, Natalie, remember the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The groan from the ladies tells me it's a lucky thing I'm standing here. Now, look, y'all. It was bad timing, but it's terrible timing. It's terrible timing. But it's good theology, okay? Here's what I mean when I talk about how the resurrection transforms suffering. We need to hear this one because this is good news. You know, suffering links us with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into this world in some way, and he knew what was waiting for him was the cross. And that 6 long hours of suffering were miserable as he hung there with the weight of the world's sin on his hands and on his body and feet. And yet Jesus Christ was triumphant over that, which tells us that suffering has an end, is the first thing it tells us. We can expect that the times in which we go into intense sorrow or suffering will one day have an end. That's good news. That means that things do get better, right? That in and of itself is worth the price of being in an Easter service, I think. Just the knowledge that what we face in terms of difficulty and pain and illness and disease and aggravation and worry, it's all fleeting and ephemeral. Jesus Christ's suffering lasted 6 hours, and it was sufficient to take the sin of the world. And to that end, we can know with certainty that when our suffering comes, that whether it's resolved by our death or whether a much more immediate resolution is in the works, it does indeed resolve. It ends. There is a terminal point to suffering, and Jesus Christ's death and resurrection shows it to us. Guys, when I think about suffering, I will tell you, I think about the times. Gosh, I can't even talk about it. I'll think about the times after my sister died, very suddenly, very unexpectedly. And it was without question the worst time in my life. I'm sure my family would back me up on that and tell you they wouldn't want to go back any more than I would. But the fact of the matter is this mattered to me, this awareness that suffering has an end. You know, and what I found was following it is because I knew that suffering would end, God was able to get me through the experience in one piece, thanks be to God. And what it showed me was that things do get better. I'm in a church that I love. I'm in a town that I adore. And I get to work with people that are like brothers and sisters to me. But all of that was hidden from me. Only one thing that I knew, and it was that the suffering would end one way or the other, and I would be with the Lord in a positive, new, and exciting way. That's what I mean when I say that Easter continues to reverberate because we have whole new understandings of the suffering element. It also matters because it shows the truth and the veracity of what we've heard in Scripture, and that is simply this. Nothing is impossible for God. I read to you Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke 1:27. For nothing will be impossible with God. Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, what we think is impossible isn't. Which means that when we meet an impossible case or a hopeless one, that means there is. I've met my fair share of hopeless cases doing prison ministries in Kershaw, South Carolina. Now, I didn't get to sit at the table with this one guy, but I could tell you from seeing him across the room on the first day, I wouldn't have wanted to mess with him. It turned out his nickname was Shank. Right? If you get a nickname like Shank in prison, I got to figure you're not somebody I want to mess with. Right? But Shank kept his ears open. And Shank listened that week and he heard something that clicked. Something that by the power of the Holy Spirit lodged deep down in him. And when the time came for him to make a decision for Jesus Christ, he made it. Choosing to accept his Jesus as his Lord, his Savior, which was amazing to us because it turned out Shank had been a devout Muslim up until that experience. Shank would have looked to the world like a hard luck case, like nothing was ever going to become a Shank. Well, I'm here to tell you, nothing's impossible when God gets involved. Shank just completed his high school equivalency. He's on the outside. He's got 3 kids, and by all accounts, he's doing great. All things are possible. We know that because death itself can't be contained. That means that if there's an area in your life that has you weighed down or is beating you up, has become like your Goliath, well, you're just one stone's fling with a little help from God from seeing that thing laid to rest. Keep that in mind. That's good news. But I guess the best news is the obvious one. It's that death is forever vanquished. And that is a freedom that I think we can rejoice in forever. Because being freed from death necessarily means that as individuals we can be more loving, more compassionate, more generous, more giving, more evangelical, more sacrificial. Why? Because we know that this world isn't the final declaration on our life, that there is, in fact, another day, an eternal one that waits for us. It's a day in which the Revelation tells us there's no more sickness or sadness or even death. For as we know, death has been swallowed up by our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will rejoice with him in the kingdom that comes forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now lift up our pastoral prayers, knowing and believing that God not only hears them, but that does indeed respond. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice with you on this Easter Sunday as we are astounded by the good news yet again that Christ was not held by the grave, the stone was pushed aside, and that miraculous resurrection has come to pass. Heavenly Father, just remind us that Jesus' resurrection matters to us, that because he is risen, so shall we be. Enable us to know with certainty that as we witness Jesus in his glorified body after the resurrection, we look upon our eventual outcome, O Lord. For your word tells us that one day you will take off the imperishable and put on one day you will take off the perishable and put on the imperishable upon us in new perfect spiritual bodies that can't be ravaged by sin and thus by sickness and or death, O Lord. We rejoice in you knowing that you have made these miracles happen, and we believe that you have the power to be with all of those who we name now. Oh Lord, we lift up in prayer this morning Norman Thompson and Byron Beach. We pray for Dennis and Debbie Abernathy. We pray for Jill Griffin and Jack McClure. We pray for Steve Gilmore. We pray for all of the families that remain grieving because of the loss of loved ones recently. We pray for anyone and everyone who is struggling in mind or body. We just ask, O Lord, that you would reach out with your special touch and alert and awaken
anyone who is sad or struggling this today. Oh, Lord, we make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all, concluding with the prayer Jesus Christ taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Wonderful and gracious God, on this Easter morning, we're reminded that you provide for us everything necessary, O Lord. And now, as we return a portion of those provisions back to you, we just ask that you sanctify this offering, using it to bring about your world and your peace in this time and place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Don't forget, after the service, there'll be an Easter egg hunt for the kids, so please, you don't want to miss that.
Friends, as we celebrate this great and wonderful holiday, let us all be reminded that that new life that rose with Jesus Christ rises within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Send us out these doors filled with love and a desire to share the good news. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.